Today on the Grey Lodge, we're looking at Twin Peaks: The Return, Episode 10. Laura is the one with a title like that. You know it's going to be a banger. We're going to explore some clues for why Laura is the one. Catch some symbolism of owls, percolators, the Mitchum brothers enter the chat. Dougie's got game. Janie E is down. Dr. Amp's Q statement. Some major Horn family updates. Sinclair bloodlines. Laura Palmer sightings and more. Join me on the Grey Lodge. So the episode starts out, we finally get the name of this creepy dude, the guy who ran over that kid a couple episodes ago. His name is Richard. All right. And Richard pulls up to Miriam's trailer. He's driving a Saturn, of all things. We'll talk about Saturn later on as well in this episode. And Miriam tells Richard that she spilled the beans to Sheriff Truman, that Richard killed that kid. And he proceeds to break in and murder her. Okay. Now, I'm going to put some images up on the Instagram, as always, at Isaac Weishaupt. Like and subscribe. You're going to see by the front door to her trailer what looks like an owl. All right. I'm not committed to that. It appears to look like an owl, though. And we all know that the owls are not what they seem. So, Richard kills this woman. Then he calls Officer Chad. We all hate Chad. And tells him, look, there's a letter coming in to the Twin Peaks Sheriff's Department. You're going to intercept that letter. And, you know, so now we confirm Chad and Richard, shady characters. The camera zooms through the trailer and we see a percolator on the stove. Is there a fish inside that percolator? I don't know. We don't get that information. Then the Fat Trout Trailer Park, Carl Rod still managing it. He's got a formal little wooden sign now instead of, you know, that says don't knock before 9:30. He's cleaning his act up in his old age. He's playing the guitar. And then we see a coffee mug flying out of a trailer. Well, it's the trailer for Steven and Becky. And you remember Steven from earlier. He was applying to work at Mike, you know, Snake, at Mike's car lot. And him and Becky, which is Shelly and Bobby Briggs' daughter, they were doing drugs. Well, apparently they live in the Fat Trout Trailer Park. And he's unloading on Becky. This is giving major Leo Shelly vibes. Not good. Then we go to Vegas, and we've got the Mitchum brothers, Rodney and Bradley, and one of their, I don't know her role. She's an assistant or a dancer or both. Her name is Candy. Full-on lynch scene. It's like 10 minutes of Candy trying to smack a fly. And she ends up hitting Rodney in the eye, and now he's got a black eye, which is relevant for later. Seems stupid, like everything in these lynch works, but there's a point to it. Next, we're at the doctor's office in Vegas. Dougie is being checked out for his odd behavior, and he's got his shirt off, and homeboy is ripped. All right. And even Janie E is like, hey, what is this about? And it's interesting because I think, you know, it's a little bit of a comedic element, but I think what we're getting here is a message that Dougie is in fact not Dougie at all. Cooper literally replaced Dougie's entire consciousness and body. And we hear Janie E say that Dougie was missing for 3 days before he showed up from the casino with that fat bag of cash. I believe this is another spiritual reference to Christ. This is the death and resurrection cycle. And it's a reference for Christ dying and going underground for 3 days and then coming back. I am dead, yet I live, right? We heard that in episode 1 of season 3. Brad and Rodney watch the news, and we hear that there was a hit they had out on Ike the Spike. Remember, Ike the Spike tried to kill Cooper, or Dougie, I should say. And they're watching the news. Ike got arrested, so they're like, okay, let's call off that hit. And then they're watching the eyewitness stories of people talking about how Dougie Jones disarmed Ike the Spike. And this woman says he moved like a cobra. And they recognize Dougie. They're like, that's Mr. Jackpot. So you have to go all the way back to part three. That, you know, season three, Twin Peaks of the Return, it's called part 1 through 18 because it's all basically one giant movie. So I accidentally interchanged the term episode with part. Forgive me. But in part three, I believe, is when Mr. Jackpot's cleaned out the casino and the Mitchum brothers were not very thrilled about it. It's, you know, they own the place. They own the Silver Mustang Casino. Now, something else interesting, just a clue that I don't think really goes anywhere, but the news outlet on the TV, it says it's channel, the channel identification is KQRY. And if you look that up, that's not broadcast identification for Vegas. It's for Arkansas. I found very strange. I don't know if that plays a role in anything. I just noticed it. So Janie E, she caught those Dougie vapors real bad. And they're at home now. She's throwing down game. Dougie's eating cake. And notice Janie E's got those red shoes on, like we talked about so much on this show. Last episode, Dougie was staring at the red heels like it was part of an awakening process. So Janie E, she's feeling Dougie real hard, and, you know, they have the sexy time. She's riding him. He's grinning. He's real happy. Dougie's real happy. And they cuddle up, and she says, I love you, and he says, love you. You know, because he's still doing the call and repeat thing. But it's an interesting development here in this marriage. You know? They were kind of rocky there for a while, and it seems like maybe things are taking a turn. Meanwhile, Dr. Jacoby, he's doing his Alex Jones ranting about sheeple. The fucks are back at it again. And Nadine is watching from her store because she's a loyal subscriber. And we see that her store is called the Run Silent, Run Drape store. And she's got a golden shovel out in the front of the window, the golden shovel, which is Dr. Amp's grift. Now, ironically, during his little rant, he says, save the children, which was part of the 2020 QAnon movement, if you recall that. And it seemed like that dropped out of the 2024 election race. I don't know. Just curious, right? And anyway, I just found that curious because Twin Peaks The Return was obviously a couple years before 2020, so I thought, well, that was interesting. Just a synchromystic thing. Maybe goes in line with more of that we live inside of a dream kind of thing. When they say we live inside a dream, I think of synchromysticism and elements manifesting from intentions, whether on purpose or not, that kind of thing. So Dickhead Chad, he's snooping around the sheriff's department for this letter that Miriam sent to Sheriff Truman. And he ends up going out to the mailman and he snags it and, you know, he hides it. So Richard's off the hook. Then we get one of the darkest scenes in Twin Peaks, I think. We see, remember Johnny from the last episode? We were like, is that Johnny Horn? Well, we confirm that it's true. And we also confirm Johnny is not dead. All right. He's in restraints on a chair and he's all bandaged up. He's down real bad. And there's a teddy bear on the table with a light bulb for a head. It's a crazy scene. And it's just sitting there and it's, repeating, hello, Johnny, how are you today? Over and over throughout the whole scene. If you've watched this, you know what I'm talking about. But yeah, this is Johnny Horn and this is Sylvia Horn's home, Ben Horn's wife. All right. Played by Jan Darcy from the original seasons. And here comes Richard pulling up in his beat-up Saturn. And we confirm that Richard is Sylvia's grandson, which means his name is Richard Horn. All right? Which, by deduction, means Audrey Horn is his mother. Or Johnny is his father. I mean, I guess that's possible, too, at this point. Where is Audrey Horn? Anyway, Johnny, he's wrapped up in restraints and bruised and sitting at this table. This bear's going on and on. Richard comes, he basically busts in the door and tells Sylvia, Grandma, he says, Grandma, give me all your money. And she's like, no, Richard. And he starts choking her and assaulting her, and he threatens to cornhole Johnny. What kind of evil is this? Johnny's tied up in the chair, gets tipped over. He's watching the whole thing. I mean, this is traumatic to the max. This is that Twin Peaks issue, right? It goes from totally normal cherry pie coffee grins to cornholing a mentally handicapped guy. Oh, my God. I mean, 0 to 100. Richard grabs all the money from Grandma Sylvia's purse, her jewelry box, calls her a cunt, and then heads out. Insane. And then you'll notice, I put the image on the Instagram, you'll notice there's horns above the fireplace. I'll put the image on the Instagram so you can see. This is it a reference to the name Horn? Is it a reference to demonic devil forces? Is it, you know, because Ben Horn was always shown near a fireplace, and we talked about the significance of fire, which we learn a little bit more about today in the world of Twin Peaks. Or no, next, that's the next episode. All right, we're back in Vegas. The mysterious Mr. Todd, we find out that his rivals are the Mitchum brothers, okay? And apparently he's got Anthony Sinclair on the payroll. That's Tom Sizemore's character from Lucky 7 Insurance, the guy who works with Dougie, all right? So Mr. Todd conspires with Anthony Sinclair, or did conspire with Anthony, to deny the Mitchum's $30 million insurance claim, okay? And he wants Anthony to now go and convince the Mitchums that Dougie Jones was the reason for the denial, because they're mad at, because the Mitchums are mad at Anthony right now for denying their $30 million claim. So Mr. Todd's like, hey, go tell the Mitchums that this is Dougie's fault so that they kill Dougie. Because you remember Mr. Todd, or Mr. C, called Mr. Todd, said, you need to get the job done. So we now know that Mr. C wants Dougie killed, because I think he knows that Dougie is Cooper trying to manifest. Over in Buckhorn, Albert and that corner, they are dating. It was a romance for sure. Okay, back to Vegas. Anthony goes to the Silver Mustang Casino. He's trying to convince the Mitchums that this is Dougie Jones's fault, right? Like, he's the enemy. You should probably kill him, all right? Now let's talk real briefly, Anthony Sinclair. This ties us into the Sinclair bloodline of the Da Vinci Code lore. Because in the Da Vinci Code book, there's much discussion about the bloodline of the Sinclairs going back to Roslyn Chapel, right? Which was founded by Sir William Sinclair. St. Clair, excuse me. But, you know, they changed the names a little bit. Sinclair, St. Clair, same thing. But the idea is that the Sinclairs were the ones that started speculative Freemasonry. Speculative meaning it's the difference between building and laying bricks versus initiation through occult mystery schools. And there's even claims that the Sinclair's bloodline is part of the Holy Grail, which in the conspiracy of that theory, it's the bloodline of Christ and Mary Magdalene. Just something interesting. Now he tells them, the Mitchums, like, Dougie denied your claim, you should go kill him, basically. And the Mitchums, they don't seem too shooken up by this until they get home. And then Rodney says, now I know how Marlon Brando felt. Which, did I think we met Wally Brando already, but anyway, they're actually very upset, and they're going to set up a meeting with Dougie Jones, and they feel like they've been betrayed. He says, fuck us once, shame on you. Fuck us twice, shame on us. So they're going to take Dougie out, giving Mr. C what he wanted the whole time. So then we get an interesting scene back in Buckhorn. Albert heads to Gordon Cole's room, and Gordon Cole opens the door, and we get a flash of Laura Palmer crying from Fire Walk With Me, and you're going to hear an appearance of Sarah Palmer's voice garbling out for Laura. Take a listen. I'm not sure what that means, but they detected it, right? The Blue Rose brothers here, they detect something going on there with it. And Gordon Cole was at this point in his hotel room, and he was sketching what looks like a spotted dog with antlers and a hand reaching over to it. We're not sure what that means. And Albert proceeds to tell Gordon Cole about Diane's text she got from Mr. C, that one about how the conversation around the dinner table is lively. And the FBI traced it back to Mexico. They retrieved the response. Diane sent Mr. C a response saying, they have Hastings. He's going to take them to the site. So Cole says he felt it when she hugged him, but now this confirms it, that something's up with Diane. Now they know Diane's talking to Mr. C. This isn't good. And Tammy shows up at this point with a photo from the penthouse in New York City from way back in part one. Remember when the cube that the experiment came through and killed that couple? Well, it's a photo of Mr. C who set up this whole glass box. Now we know that the penthouse glass cube that manifested the experiment was Mr. C's operation. Things are starting to fall into place, everybody. Sylvia calls Ben to tell him about Richard stealing all her money and jewelry and threatening to cornhole Johnny. She wants Ben to send more money. He won't. Then we get the log lady's appearance. We love a log lady appearance. She calls Hawk with some insane messaging. Let's take a listen.
Electricity is humming.
You hear it in the mountains and rivers. You see it dance
among the seas and stars and glowing around the moon. But in these days, the glow is dying.
What will be in the darkness that remains?
The Truman brothers are both true men. They are your brothers.
And the others?
The good ones who have been with you. Now the circle is almost complete. Watch and listen to the dream of time and space. It all comes out now, flowing like a river.
That which is and is not. Hawk.
Laura is the one.
She said the electricity is humming, and we know that's always a sign of activity of the lodges, right? And remember how I talked about the humming on the last episode? I postulated, I said, could the humming be electricity, just a sort of loss of fidelity, so it's not crackling as much, it's just kind of a dulled out, because it's we've lost fidelity of the certain original world of Twin Peaks, and now it's a different sort of thing. She talks about the Truman brothers are both true men. I don't know what that means. I know that there's a cult play on free men and free man that you see in, I believe, The Holy Mountain by Hodorowski. that's what it made me think of. Referring to like the Luciferian concepts of freedom, perhaps. She says the circle is almost complete. This is a reference to the donut, the samsara we talked about, season 1 and 2. The circle finishing and starting over again, right? Cycles of humanity. She says the dream of time and space all comes out now, flowing like a river, that which is and is not. And for no reason at all, this made me think of the concepts. You heard Crowley talk about, he said, death is the ultimate orgasm. And there's ideas that you see in Twin Peaks of the consciousness manifesting out of into a gold orb or floating into space. Again, you can't unpack all of Twin Peaks, so I'm not sure exactly what she meant, but we got to pay attention to the words here. Dreams, time, and space. I think that's the main elements of Twin Peaks in general. And she tells Hawk Laura is the one. I mean, we already know this, right? Now, there's two references to Laura in this episode. The whole episode is titled Laura is the One. Why does this episode point our attention towards Laura? She has a relatively minor role in this episode. You barely even hear about her. But we are in the heels of part 8, where there was the revelation that she was, in fact, the One, right? She was the Golden Orb response from the White Lodge to Bob. So that partial manifestation we saw with the Blue Rose Boys and the Log Lady's prophecies are indicating some kind of energy shift. In the next episode, we talk more about this energy shift, portals opening up. But I believe it's kind of like all these clues Dougie's getting as reminders of his true life, as a true man, of Dale Cooper. And the episode wraps up with the Roadhouse. We hear Rebecca Del Rio's song, No Stars, beautiful song. That's Moby. I had to look it up. On the guitar, it looked like Moby. That's Moby. But notice her dress. Again, photo on the Instagram. Her dress has the black and white checkered floor pattern of the lodge, the waiting room, the red room on it. Well, it's technically dark brown and white, but whatever. And we're going to get some black and white symbolism next episode as well. But the lyrics of this song talks about going to the place where it all began. And the next episode, I know there's almost should have made this one show two episodes, because they kind of go together very well. You're going to see black and white cars. And we're going to talk more about the coordinates. Where do the coordinates lead? I think this sets us up for that. Back to the place where it all began, which you already know the answer, Twin Peaks. The lyrics say, my dream is to go to that place, you know, the one where it all began, on a starry night. Remember Log Lady said the circle is almost complete. We're going back to the place where it all began, going back to Twin Peaks. I saw them in your eyes, en tus palabras y en tus besos. Anyway, a bunch of Spanish words that mean in your words and in your kisses, under a night full of stars. I believe this is a reference to the Red Room when Laura kisses Dale and whispers words into his ear, right? In your words and in your kisses. Under the starry night long ago, but now it's a dream. I saw in your eyes, I saw the stars, but now there are no stars. What does it all mean? Well, we're going to keep working on it. We're going to hack at it. So next episode, season 3, part 11. There's fire where you're going, so I'm warning you, things are heating up. Thank you for listening to The Grey Lodge. Come back. We're going to hit it. Stay positive.